year. Bobby Connors has a visitation. This is kind of a phenomenon. He has a visitation with angels, with heaven on the Day of Atonement every year. I forget how many years he's been doing it. It was some 25 years. And Bob Jones would do this, would write every year the shepherd's rod, and it was a prophetic word for the year. And Bob Jones passed it off to Bobby Connors, who rejected it first. He says, "Lord told me you're supposed to do this." He's like, "I'm not doing that." He says, "Well, he told me you're supposed to." You know, he has this little funny voice, Bob Jones did. And so Bobby Connors kind of rejected it, but in the end, he did it. By the way, I've got your book, so don't let me forget. And so he accepts. You know, there are a lot of things we go, "No, I won't do that. I'll never do that." And the Lord just waits on us to change our minds, you know. So he's kind and faithful. So I'm behind, you know, like this is the shepherd's rod for 2019, and I hadn't gotten. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I got to get this. I intended to." So I got it. Been reading it, looking at it. It's real good. And he's pointing at, there's always a scripture that's for the year. And of course, this is 2019. And so he indicated Psalms 119, which is a lot about the Word of God. And then that also incorporates Psalms 19, which is interesting. And that's actually what I'm going to share out of this morning, because we would sing these scripture songs. There were actually two scripture songs we sang a lot in the early years of the 80s. We'd sing these all the time. They were some of the early scripture songs that I learned to play and to worship with. And so here I am back at this, and it ties directly in. So Bobby, describing Psalms 119, he said, "It's a psalm about the Word of God and the God of the Word." It's about the Word of God and about the God of the Word. And that is the end, that's the goal here, is to see the God of the Word. And so he is in the Word. And we see John, the book of John, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and it dwelt among us, it manifests, it was Jesus." So Jesus is the Word is Jesus, and there's just a call for us to pray about how to get reconnected and refresh ourselves with the Word. Many of us know scriptures, but as you know, It's not enough. Joshua was exhorted to meditate on this law day and night, for it to not depart from his mouth, and that there was promise of prosperity associated directly with that. He was to meditate on it so that he would keep it. And I find when we don't stay up, and I've been looking at this, trust the Lord in Psalms 37 and do good. That doing good has it, like, how do I do good? And it's like, I do good by following the instructions. And I was thinking, follow Jesus' words. I need to get this more in my mind. As you know, if we don't keep that fresh, and a situation comes, a temptation comes, you're emotional about something, and bam, out it comes. You're reacting or you're moving Before you get a grip of whether this is wisdom or not, and especially before you realize or think about the fact that this is totally opposite of what Jesus said. And then you make the movement, you do the thing, you say it, you react, you respond, and then you spend some time eating dirt and dying, you know, 1,000 deaths. Why did I do that? And this is one of the goals of meditating on the Word, so that stays real predominant. So that's there right away. How did Jesus had to fight the devil. He had to deal with the temptation. We're like, how can Jesus be tempted? I don't know, but the scripture says that he was. And it gives us a detailed account of the situation. And what does Jesus do? Because I don't think he had a Bible with him. This is the Son of God, and how did he fight the devil? How did he contend against him? With the Word. Amazing. Do you understand There were a lot of ways to fight the devil. Have you watched any of the Marvel movies? How do they fight the enemy? They've got sledgehammers. I've got some special sledgehammers, but they aren't like Thor's, you know. They had things. They fight. This all this supernatural stuff goes on. Jesus, able to do that, what does he use? It is said. It is written. He quotes to the enemy. Well, if that's how Jesus fought the devil, maybe we should do that. Maybe that's what we should use. So it's not about more willpower. It's not about bundling yourself up so you never sin. It's not about, you know, putting tape around your eyes so you never look at anything bad. It's not about putting a gag in your mouth so you never say anything bad, though I've thought of that. Do you remember the, I probably shouldn't have watched it, but there was a movie, an action movie, Con Air, and there's a bad guy in there that's actually a cannibal, you know, and it's a movie about all these criminals that are on this air transport, and they break out, and you know how all of that goes. And the really, really bad guy, the really scary guy, he's on the plane, and they've got him chained up, massive. He's just kind of a simple, mealy-looking guy, but he's totally dangerous, you know. And they have this, do you remember if you've ever saw it, it's a mask on his face, so all that you see is this, you know, because they've got his mouth covered, everything, like he's all locked down, you know. And I thought, you know, I've had a thought. I might want to get one of those outfits sometimes because I can't get my mouth under control. We bridle the horse and like, bridles for Christians. We should sell that out on the book table. There's a better way. There's a better way. Psalms 19, verse 7. 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What converts the soul? The law of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I consider myself simple, so there's hope for me to be wise. I'm not. I graduated high school. One time I looked back at my transcripts. I had forgotten how bad it was. I graduated with a D+. I'm not even making that up. In other words, I just barely got out of jail. I just barely got out of there. I was good at music and study hall, which I got a pass from the band director to skip at the end of each day, so I went home early with the early class. I was real dedicated. I tried, and then I just didn't have what it took to be a good student. So I'm simple. And yet the Lord used, it's the word of the Lord. It's the word that makes us wise. It can actually make you profound without a PhD, without a lot of accolades. A person that learns the word and quotes and speaks and follows that, it's an upgrade in your wisdom, like immediately. Really, it really is. I'm going to go through these, but I want to keep moving. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So we're going to look at what that actually means. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. How many of you remember us? There's a couple of us. Remember us singing that scripture song, Phyllis, me, Rob? I don't know. We're getting a short list here. So let's look at this in this age of fighting against legalism. We've gone, I really believe we've gone way out of line with how we define the law, how we look at the law, because we're trying to walk in the Spirit. We are walking in the Spirit. We put that a preeminence. We're born in the Spirit. I don't want to come under the law in that sense. But there is but if you notice, the law was never taken away, never taken out. It was fulfilled because it was perfect. So we've got to be careful how we deal with that, and it still has value. It still has value. It's still there. It may be a little tricky to navigate, but in one sense it is, but in another sense it's really not. The law. I have a couple books that I treasure highly. One is the 1828, is it 1828 or 19? It'd be 1928. Noah Webster Dictionary. It's this thick, it's big, green, and it sits on, you know, if someone gets it, I'm like, easy, you know, when you're done, put that back in the glass case, you know. That and my commentary on Isaiah by Moiter. Those are two, like, books that are like, I really treasure them. Besides my Bibles, yeah. And I got that out because now a Webster's Dictionary, we're not, like, not even half a press because things are watered down so bad in it, but that wasn't the original intention. The original was just about a Bible. Crazy. I mean, there's all kinds of scripture references in the Noah Webster Dictionary. That's how it started out. All that got eliminated out. Any reference to the Bible, it's gone. I don't think you're going to find much of anything if you grabbed an up-to-date, a 2019 version of Webster's Dictionary. I doubt if any of that stuff's there. But the original one had no problem with using scripture as illustration. And it was our words and our language are so core to understanding. Like, again, in the end, we need a good definition of our language because our language is what the Bible is translated into. And I don't have the wherewithal to study Greek or Hebrew. It just confuses me, even the strong concordances and all those things. I'm like, wow. I'm glad somebody worked this out and translated this. I look for who I trust that's spirit-filled and go with that. The words, the definitions are so important. Listen, this was refreshing. A rule, the law, a rule, particularly an established or particular rule prescribed by the supreme power of a state to its subjects for regulating their actions, particularly their social actions. Moral law, a law which prescribes to men their religious and social duties, their duties to God and to each other. So that's good. Those are good to have. I've never appreciated this stuff as much as I am now, where when we're living in a day where our very constitution is being challenged, where it's being attacked by those that don't believe that. Just like we would be attacked by people that want to get rid of the Bible. It's the same thing. Wanting to get rid of our Constitution, it's like throwing out we want to redefine the Constitution. There's been a real movement for that, and now it's like really, really in our faces. It's the same thing. This is what our scripture is. And we don't want that taken down. We want that there. It sets boundaries. It protects us. It protects our rights and our values, and it sets the boundaries for who God is and what He's at. It's the designer's instructions. Nothing worse than getting something that you have to put together and there's no instructions in the box. Right? Like, go, okay, this is great. It's supposed to do all these things, but I don't know how to put together, or I don't know how to run it. You know, any of you that are close to my age or willing to acknowledge that, we're like, wow, some of this technology, it's wonderful, but wow, isn't it challenging? You're like, I'm tired already because I had to figure out this thing. And our kids walk up and, oh, it's like this, boop, 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 and they're like, get out of here. And then you start to rely on them and ask that they get tired of you asking. It's like, well, learn it yourself, you know, like, oh, all right, I'm trying. I'm not wired this way. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So, this is a call to highlight this again, prioritize this, hold this up. Realize the power, because we've lost it in our in our movement and our moving and our striving and our trying to make money and trying to make a lot, all the things that we're doing, and we forget the value of this. It's like, I don't need the word, I need a check. I don't need the word of the Lord, I need some friends, I need some help, I need a new car. I need, you know, we're like, we get so consumed with our material stuff and what we want to, and our accomplishments and what we want to accomplish, and it's also vain, like it's so temporal. And we put all this emphasis into things that are temporal. I just challenge you. Look again at the things you're striving so hard for. How long will they last? What value do they really have in the end game? The statutes, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And this is about believing once again and proclaiming once again the power of the word. Because if we really come back to believing that, then we'll stop all this striving ourselves to fix things and to fix people and to... The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And I had a reference I missed here on my notes. The absence of the law, or the abolishment of the law, Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that's what's attacking our culture. A values where everyone just does what's right in their own eyes. And if you still have your brain in your head, you're like, that equals chaos. That would be horrible. That's not freedom. That would be horrible. Definition of testimony. I just took these out of my Webster's dictionary. A solemn declaration of affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. The tablets were called testimony. Why were that? That's interesting, isn't it? The tablets that were put in the ark, the big tablets, the Ten Commandment tablets that were written with the finger of God, those tablets. You know, some of you might have granite countertops, like that's like the I Ching, like, ooh, those are nice. Those are sweet. Well, it was granite or something, but those tablets, their law was written on tablets, but they were the testimony. Why? Because they proved an action, a reality of God, didn't they? No one could duplicate that font. I mean, wow. Matter of fact, that's a good deal. I think someday we'll get to see them. We'll be like, whoa. By the way, we have a new church sign coming. Those posts are going to actually get covered with something. So there's a couple of us working on that. Corwin designed it, and we've been working. It's only taken about 3 years, but it's there. And maybe I'll show you the video of them making the actual metal signs. The name, it's down in my garage, sandwiched in some plywood, stainless steel, and it was it's like they were like 4x8 sheets of stainless that were. You know, it's called a CNC machine, a plasma cutter, and they lay the sheet out on a table, and it does all that. You program it, and it's all cut out and laid out in a big sheet. It's pretty cool. So that eventually will get out front, and we get the base of it built. And so, do you understand how valuable this is? That there are testimonies in the Word, and they're powerful. So this isn't just this isn't Buddha sitting there with his little belly. This isn't, Muhammad. This isn't the dead gods, the gods that have no power. This is there's testimony about this. The testimonies of the Lord verify he's real. He really moves. He does miracles. He parts the Red Sea. He sends plagues on the enemy to deliver his people. He does stuff. Those are, all of those stories are the testimony of the Lord. So when evil men that are religious try to remove those stories from the, they're removing the testimony from our heritage. It's like, get your hands off of that. Stop. Testimony is very powerful. Testimonies of the Lord is sure, makes wise the simple. Even the simple understands a story, right? And we need to be simple. We need to go like, oh, that's not real. Yeah, it is real. There's proof. And he continues to give testimony of his power and his actions, healings and miracles and things that are going on. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Statutes, an act of a legislature of a state that extends its binding force to all the citizens or subjects of that state, as distinguished from an act which extends only to an individual or company. The act of a corporation or its founder intended as a permanent rule of law. What does that mean? That means the rules apply to everybody. When you have a statute and it doesn't come from the law of the land, but it comes from heaven, then those statutes are permanent. Why do we rejoice in those? Because there's justice for all. If I get picked up speeding, if I speed and I get picked up, so does the congressman get picked up for speeding. That's when those they apply to everybody. You don't get to break the law, right? I mean, in a fair system, and the kingdom of God is fair. It is perfect. And so you rejoice in these because the laws aren't just for certain people. When these statutes are set statutes, that's why you rejoice in them. It's like, oh, we're all under this. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your excuse is. We're all under these same things. We have a fair playing field. The kingdom has a fairness about it. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Commandment, a command, a mandate, an order or injunction given by authority, charge or precept. And so the commandments are clear. We have commandments. We should be very honored. It's like living in a household that has parents that are showing up for the job. There's rules for the house, right? You grow up in that house, there are rules. There are things you can get away with. There are things you can't. Does that bother? Are you wounded by that? No, you feel secure. Here's where I can do this. Here's where I can do that. If I do this over here, I'm in trouble. If I ride my bike in the kitchen after I'm 3 years old, I'm in trouble. But you're fine with that because it brings order and it brings peace. Because once you're an older sibling and the little brother wants to ride his bike in your bedroom, the parents come in and go, no, we don't ride bikes in the house, especially in your brother's bedroom. You're like, oh, saved by the command, saved by the rules that are set, the parameters. The fear of the Lord, verse 9, is clean, enduring forever. What a mystery, the fear of the Lord. We work so hard at getting into grace so we aren't scared to death of our shadow, and then someone comes along and starts talking about the fear of the Lord, and we're like, it kind of tilts you. Have you, anybody else here been tilted by that? But you know it's a good thing, but it's hard to reconcile it. I found something in this, and I've spent a lot of time waiting on understanding and looking at that, at the fear of the Lord. There's a word, I may not even pronounce it right, filial, F-I-L-I-A-L, and it pertains to being a son or a daughter. Pertains to being that. Becoming a child in relation to his parents. So, filial, I'm probably not pronouncing it right, F-I-L-I-A-L, filial fear is the natural, normal fear that a child has living under his parents. They understand, if I violate certain things, there's a price to pay for that, especially if I cross mom. Amen? No, okay. Now, with that distinction, it really makes a lot more sense. In good men, the fear of God and his laws, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subject of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. Let me read that again. It has this purifying effect on you. Because once there's fear and you understand this and you live in this family, you start to adopt, and kids do this, they just do it. They'll pick up in your household, for better or for worse, what is okay and what is not. And your children can be the orneriest thing on the planet. But if someone comes in and criticizes you, like even children that are abused, you have the hardest time getting them to expose their parents, because they have this, even though they're abused in some way or another, they're really reluctant to tell. Anybody that works in social services knows this. They're real reluctant to betray a parent. They don't want to do that. And it's a neat thing in one sense. And so you develop the convictions and the things that are important. So in good men, the fear of God and his laws, which springs from a just view and real love of divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and to shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. So the result of developing the fear of the Lord in our lives is that we hate what's evil. We shun away from what's vile. We go, I don't want to watch that. It's not that I'm not allowed to watch that. It's, I don't want to see that. I don't want to participate in this. It's contrary to who he is. Oh, come on, it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters to me. It matters to my Father. So it creates this different reason why you say no to things and why you say yes to things and how you walk. It's not about judging anybody else. It's about defining your walk, and you have this, it's out of relationship that you say, I don't want to participate in that because I don't want to mess up my relationship with the Father. It's a different, you see, it's different than keeping rules. Like when I grew up in the church and the denomination I did, all they could do was put rules on us to get us to behave properly. But there wasn't the inward thing. There was no revelation about stuff. It was just rules. It was rules without meeting and rules without relationship. And so we were just all consumed with keeping the rules. Keep your hair, you know, keep your hair cut the right length, off your ears, off your collar. Girls' dresses had to be, you know, here, not there, like just all these things. And then you judge one another on that. Let me see, do you measure up? No one's looking at anyone's heart. You could be an absolute stinker about life, and that didn't matter as long as your hair was cut the right way or you're wearing the right length of dress. It's like, it's about attitude. It's about the heart. It's about what's... And so the fear of the Lord is a different thing. It causes you to live in a different way so that you're doing this out of relationship with the Lord, protecting that. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In law, the sentence or doom pronounced in any case, civil or criminal, by the judge or count by which it is tried. The sentence or doom pronounced in any case. So, coming to this place where you love the judge, that you accept the judgments of the Lord and you embrace them, it's about this. Stop being offended with God about how he deals with things. It's about he's right and we don't know what we're doing. It's about if he did that, he had every right to do that. It's about accepting his judgments on something because there's more to the story and it's above my pay grade to decide, and I'm with him. You go, that wasn't fair. I'm with him. Whatever our opinions about how he dealt with anything, I'm with him. I'm standing with him. I'm staying on that side of the lightning. I'm staying on that side of the fire. It's about getting over being offended with God. It's a big thing. And you look, and a lot of people that are denying Christ and denying Christianity, there's an offense there. It'll come out sooner or later if they're genuine in it. Some people are just role-playing, but if they're genuine in their offense with God, it'll get to this stuff. I don't think it's right. All the suffering in the world, it's God's fault. It'll come out. Now, they're misled and they have a bad interpretation, but it's this issue. For us, we come to this place where you go, I'm okay with God. Even when I don't understand him, I'm good with him. It's huge. And it's a quality of real genuineness, and we start to value the law, the things of the Lord. So I referred to Joshua already. Keep those. Let me just read that passage. Joshua, Judges, where are you at? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, 8. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When we get back to prioritizing, or just make a choice to upgrade this, prioritizing the word in your life, your confidence will grow. Anyone that's under a covering and under structure, they're usually very confident. They're confident. If it's a fair, just situation, their confidence grows. Psalms 119, I'm not going to go there, but it's really good, but there's several verses there. In Psalms 19, where we were, verse 14, Psalms 19, verse 14. Another scripture song we sang. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I want to encourage you to pray, be led by the Spirit. We often don't do that when it comes to wanting to move forward in scripture and reading more and studying and being more into it with our minds and our hearts. I really encourage this. This is when things open up for me, when I pray and ask the Lord where to go. When I quiet myself and just look, that's when, and I follow that little whisper. It's just the simplest inkling. It may direct you, that may be to go to the most common scripture in the whole Bible. But if you go there and look at it, you'll be amazed how it comes to life, and then all this, and you just go there and let that be your meditation. We don't need massive amounts of this. You just be spirit. We're spirit-filled people. We're spirit-led. Let the Spirit lead you, and out of that, feed on that and meditate on that and watch and see how it grows. It gets exciting when it starts to connect. And if you're led to a devotional, that's great. It's wonderful. But be led. Pray. Ask the Lord what and where, and then let that expand. It gets exciting. If you just try to plow through things, sometimes there's value to that, but a lot of times you're back to trying to accomplish something. And this is supposed to be life-giving. Remember, This is about discovering the God of the Word, which is different than just getting smart about it or just learning verses. Again, back to my childhood, we memorized scriptures, and we used it more to beat up people than we did to have life. It was always this proving ourselves, you know, proving why we were right. It's like, don't do that. This is the living Word. This is the expression. This is Jesus who became flesh and dwelt among us. And pray and ask about how to prioritize this. It will prosper your way. How about, what would it be like if you could avoid the last situation, the last drama you were just through? Whatever it was. How would it be if you could just, what would life be like if you could just avoid that last thing you went through? Realizing that if you would have followed Scripture, if you'd have been more attuned to Scripture and the Word before you flashed at something, before you made the dumbest mistake of your life. I mean, often, do you understand a lot of the things that have big repercussions in our life were kind of like out of thoughtless things? That's scary. Just a thoughtless decision. A feeling came up. You're just like, you know, the sun's shining, the air is blowing, and I think I'll buy this, or I think I'll do this, or I'll go there, or whatever. And it's the Word that'll speak to us and bring correction to those things. And meditating on that, our confidence always grows. And I find when I take time to receive and get stuff, situation after, I'll through the rest of the day, I'll be relating it to someone. Like, I have substance. Because I've taken time to fill my basket. I've taken time to get a word for today, to get direction. And again, don't make it complicated. Make it living. Go, let it be living. It doesn't have to be long. Find a verse that captures your heart and meditate on it. Memorize it if you can. And let it just roll. And let it minister to you. Chew it like the cow chews the cud, ruminating over it and letting it get inside of you. There's a great power here. Let's rediscover and let's highlight the power of the Word. I think I was just talking with Rob, my brother, just a little bit yesterday, and he said, you know, so many of the people I'm listening to, it comes down to this, of their ministries and the success of their ministry. They're obeying the Lord, and they're inundating themselves with the Word, with Scripture. They're just baptizing themselves in it. It's like, yeah, I can do that. And it's interesting. Talk a little bit less off of your opinions. That's always a good thing. Just kind of pull back from that and be a little quieter. It's neat. You feel like you got to fill up all the dead air, and you don't. You don't. Wait. Be wise. Even a fool, when he's silent, is thought to be wise. I wrote that as an answer on a test. I flunked the test anyways. Like I said, I wasn't a good student. Father, we just want to give all this to you. Just thank you for the worship today. Encourage our hearts. Give us instruction about how to prepare for what you're doing, and what you're doing in our midst, how you're leading us, how you're guiding us. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask for every person sitting here that Scripture opens up, that blockade or that, there's a resistance sometimes. There's a wall. We can't seem to break through it. Just to initially read and sit down and quiet ourselves. Father, we even need your grace for this. We need your help. We need those moments where we can be still and know that you're God, and we need your help to do that. We really need your help for it. And for anyone that's tried to sit before you and and hits that wall, I ask that today in Jesus' name that the wall will be removed, because we have this promise that the veil over our eyes will be removed in Jesus' name. And so let the veil be taken away. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was rent in two. It was physical, another testimony, a manifestation. And Father, for every one of us, so that no one can say, I read my Bible and it's meaningless to me. Father, that's just the biggest lie. I know it's a real feeling sometimes, but I ask that it be broken in Jesus' name. I ask that you'll open up your words to us like never before. We need you to love you. We need you to know you. We need your Spirit to discern what you're saying and what you're doing. Just thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.